IT transformation calls for true collaboration between cross-functional teams, from leaders to developers. Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/Federal News Radio.
Nearly every federal agency is trying to improve its digital service, improve call center operations, or get rid of a case backlog. You often hear artificial intelligence can aid these efforts. For one view of how AI works and how it can augment modernization efforts, Paul Dillehay, the CEO of NCI, joins me now. Paul, good to have you on. You have a new AI product, and so you're joining a rich set of vendors trying to offer artificial intelligence to the government. What is it that is drawing so many people to government? What is it you see that government is seeking from AI vendors?
I think one of the key things, Tom, is that when you look at the benefits of AI, it really comes down to being able to complete competitive tasks at a very high repetition and accuracy. And I think that accuracy is vitally important. And then if you also step back and look at the trends in federal government, you'll see that, you know, there's a wave of retirements that are planned. And I think people are seeing this as a possible way to supplement the workforce as those retirements occur.
Because if you look at, say, case backlogs, whether it's adjudication of disability claims or looking at background investigations, often these are characterized by mostly repetitive tasks that don't change from case to case, with an overlay of where the discretion is required. And so could a lot of the routine decisions be made automatically, leaving the people only having to use discretion for where you still need the people? Is that a good way to describe how that should work?
I think it is. In fact, when we build out our workflows for clients, what we tend to do is leave what we call a human in the loop to make those discretionary decisions. So, for instance, if we're managing their Active Directory and we're going to delete someone from their Active Directory because they haven't logged into the system over a period of time, we'll allow the system to produce that list of people who it recommends to be deleted or disabled and let a human make that final determination.
But it will save the human from going through the whole thing to see who it should consider eliminating.
Exactly. It presents the people who have a decision as opposed to the 16,000 users at that one, maybe base as an example.
And I ask everybody this question, and I haven't gotten a great answer yet, so I'm hoping you'll be able to give me an answer as to what it is that people, what agencies buy when they buy artificial intelligence products, because every application is totally customized to what it is they're doing.
Yes, so when we sell our artificial intelligence solution, which we call Shay, when we sell Shay, we sell her as a service. And so when the government procures it from us, they're buying the implementations as well as the automation and the subsequent bots that would support it based on the work volumes and the workflows that they automate.
And what is required to get it to such that it is effectively automating? I mean, you have to teach it, correct?
Yeah, we go through a two-phase process. One is the documentation and build out of the workflow, and then we take Shay as an intern. So once she goes into production, we will have her as an intern, and depending on the complexity of the workflows, it's anywhere from 4 to 12 weeks as an intern, and then she's a digital employee who's producing at 24/7, 365 days a year.
Any examples of where this has been able to work in a federal agency?
Yeah, so there's quite a few examples. What I'd say is what we're finding clients looking at is, and because we're an IT services company who's bringing, this commercial best practice to the federal government, our customer base tends to be CIOs and customers like that. So we're bringing it to their IT infrastructure and looking for ways to automate, whether it be regression testing, help desk tasks, things like that.
We're speaking with Paul Dillehay. He is CEO of NCI. And so when it is incorporated, this machine-learned agent that has a female name, I guess people do refer to machines as different types of characters they can visualize. What happens to the whatever decision support software that might have been there in the first place?
Yeah, that's a good question. What our tool is able to do is it integrates with them. So you assign our software user IDs and usernames and passwords, and it goes in and it uses the existing software. So there's no need to retire existing software. You can actually leave it in place. And Shay will just come in and do the task that a human does exactly the way a human does by leveraging those software. So there's no APIs, there's no interfaces to be built. It's just a matter of standing up the software, training her on the workflows, and then allowing her to do the tasks.
And I guess the rub is in the workflows, because for some processes, you've got a fairly simple set of workflows and simple decision trees. But in the case of, say, adjudication of disability, you might have hundreds of variables to build into how a decision is made.
That's exactly right, Tom. So there's a complexity factor that goes into the decision-making process around automation. And we like to think of three types of workflows, what we call a basic, a standard, and an advanced. And what happens differently in each of those is not just the complexity of the workflow, but the technology that's used to actually complete the workflow. And so in some instances on a basic, it could just be RPA, robotic process automation. And take it all the way to the advanced side, it has, you know, neural network and machine learning capacity.
But it sounds like at its heart, AI is basically just a rapid answering of a very large number of if and if then questions.
Correct. Yeah, I think that's one way to think about it. And in fact, what it does is it allows the humans to focus on, you know, those critical decisions, as opposed to extracting data and analyzing data. Let the machine do that, and then let the human do the critical decision making.
Now, the CIO would need to know the capabilities and the mission requirements for any software that he or she, you know, is involved in acquiring. But the contracting officer may want to know, what are the different licensing and models and purchase models for this type of software? If it's cloud-based and it's something that gets inculcated into the workflow, do you pay by the user, by the question, by the case? How does it work?
Our model's a little different than I think most companies. We bring Shea to our clients as a service. So we'll build out a workflow, and our cost will be, there's both a recurring license cost that's determined by the complexity and the volume of transactions that's flowing, because that determines how many bots that we'll need. And then there's an implementation cost, you know, standard implementation cost, a team coming in and working with the client's team to both document, improve, and then implement the automation.
So it's not user license based, but more on volume, regardless of the number of users.
Correct. One way to think about it is, a bot can do a task, and if that task takes a minute, there's 1,440 minutes in a day, and that's how many tasks it can complete. So if you have 14,000 tasks, then you need 10 bots, and that will drive the cost, you know, the licensing cost based on those volumes. And then to the extent you're using neural nets and machine learning, that will also create a higher level of cost, just with the complexity of the technology that you're using.
So if you have one person doing, say, 1,000 tasks a day, as opposed to 100 people each doing 10, that wouldn't affect it as long as the bot count is what it is.
Correct. We don't charge on a user basis. It's really about the consumption, right? How much bots are you using, and how many workflows have you automated?
Paul Dillehay is CEO of NCI. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
We'll post this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.